Amen. So today I've titled this sermon. I told you last week that I was going to drill down a little bit on what we talked about last week. So we're talking in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. And you need my phone? Sorry. I always forget this. She's got to get my phone so she can communicate to the people on Facebook. So I titled this, A Penny for Your Thoughts. And when we first got married, Treva used to always ask me that, and I always felt like she was probably getting robbed if she gave me a penny for my thoughts. Like, oh, she'd say, what are you thinking about? And I'd say, nothing. And she didn't really believe me, and a lot of times it was true. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war against according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments for every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Father, I thank you for your word. I know your word's anointed. Lord, you have told us that we are to rightly discern your word, Father. So I'm praying today, God, help us to envelop this, the depths of these verses, God. Show us how critical these verses are to our mental life and to our emotional life, to our well-being, Father, as people of God. I pray, Lord Jesus, for the spirit of deliverance in this place. God, that you would deliver us from any stronghold or imagination that the devil has planted years ago. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord. We commit this service into your hands. Father, I believe this is a solemn meeting which you are going to do something. So we are believing you, Lord, for great things. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Last week we studied about the parable of the sower, and how the seed that was sown is the word of God, and how the different types of soil, and we talked about all the different types of soil, and how your soil could be good ground today, but it may not be good ground tomorrow. So today I'm praying that your heart is open and it's been broken up through worship, and you're ready to receive the seed of the word of God. We talked about the process, how it comes first a little blade, and then it begins to grow, and that's the way we do in the Lord. We get a seed is planted and then it begins to grow up, you know, in our life. And scripture even talks about the mustard seed of faith. So I said last week something that I want to talk about just for a second. I talked about how we cannot medicate a spiritual problem. And I do believe that. And I do also know statistically there are lots and lots and lots of people on drugs, Xanax and different things like that, mind-altering drugs, anxiety medicine. And so I never want to come across, please listen to me very closely, I never want to come across as saying that's not from God or that you need to get off of that. Guys, I do know that there are chemical imbalances in our bodies, and sometimes you do need that medicine. So when you hear me say something like that, I don't want you to run out and say, well, I'm not taking this anymore because pastor said blah, blah, blah. You need to pray about that. And that needs to come from the Holy Spirit, not from a preacher. So just listen to the Holy Spirit. I would just pray this. If you are on anxiety medicine, I pray that it's short term in your life. You know, that you're not on it for a long term, because I believe God wants to heal. I believe that oftentimes we look of healing as being purely physical. And I think lots of times God wants to heal us emotionally and inside. Just that mental healing. I believe God can do that. So this week, we're studying something that I read across. And I thought this astounded me. And it's probably this statement that actually caused this series of sermons. They say the average person has between 50 to 60,000 thoughts a day. Scientists have studied that. That's about a thought every 1.3 seconds. So your mind is working. How many of you have problems sometimes turning your mind off when you go to bed? Right? Because it's just because it's still thinking, right? Well, let me tell you what I think is more disturbing than that. That's amazing. It's not disturbing. It's amazing. It's amazing how God has created us. What disturbs me is 90% of our thoughts are repetitive. In other words, I would say it like this. Your mind is on a loop through your thought life. So therefore, Satan sometimes will plant a thought in your mind, and it may go through your mind maybe 1,000 times that day. It goes through your mind so much and so often that in you it becomes truth. And that is what we would call a stronghold. We would maybe call that an imagination. Sometimes what's wrong with the Word of God to us is that we don't use the same terminology today. So maybe instead of stronghold, we could say life-controlling problem. See, I think that we would identify that a little bit. Do you have a life-controlling problem in your life? Well, Scripture would call that a stronghold. Let me go one more. Do you have a phobia? Because that's an imagination. It doesn't have to be real at all. Somebody told me just this week, and I cannot remember who it was. They said that there was a shed on their property or something, and they said it was full of brown recluse spiders, full of spiders. And he said, "You couldn't pay me $1 million to go in that building." And I said, "Brother, I haven't seen a building that I wouldn't go into for $1 million. But what is that? That's a phobia. Many people, I've got a daughter-in-law that has a phobia of snakes because of something that happened to her when she was a little girl. Her mom was working in the flower bed. Her mom's tough as nails. Mom was working in the flower bed and saw a snake. She reached down, grabbed it, and threw it out. She didn't realize her daughter, about a six-year-old, was standing there, and she threw it right at her feet. She goes, and from that moment on, I mean, plastic, rubber, it doesn't matter what kind of snake it is. It just petrifies her. Doesn't even like to talk about it. You know, I was just thinking today as I was studying, as I was going back, I thought about Karen Carpenter. Now you say, well, that's a random thought. She died at like 32, 33 years old of anorexia or the complications. And I wonder, what happened in her life? What thought did Satan plant, you know, that caused this reaction in her body where she always saw herself as fat? You know, Judy Garland, the Wizard of Oz. You guys know Judy Garland, 1939, played the Wizard of Oz. You know, they called her a pig in pigtails. Now, if you've seen Judy Garland, she's anything but a pig. She was slim. But that statement caused a reaction in her. They didn't know about anorexia and stuff like that back in those days. But it caused her to change who she was. And I wonder sometimes, what lie did Satan speak to you that caused you to become somebody that you're not supposed to be? It's a stronghold. Maybe somebody called you stupid. Somebody called you lazy. Or somebody called you ugly. There's a story in the Old Testament about 12 spies that were sent out. Two of the spies come back with a positive report, but 10 of the spies come back and said, we are grasshoppers in their sight. And I believe that when they said we are grasshoppers in the sight of the people that are over there, I believe that something hit the heart of the people of Israel. And Satan magnified that thought. They never heard the report of Joshua and Caleb. They didn't hear the good report. The good report that says we can do it because he said we can do it. It's already been done. Let's go in now. But they heard, no, we cannot do this. It petrified them. I think in their minds, just like I said, I think that loop began to play over and over and over. God has brought us out here to kill us. They wandered for 40 years in the desert. 40 years. Why? Because they believed a lie. They were ready. God was ready. Adam and Eve living in the Garden of Eden, the promised land. I mean, you talk about a perfect environment. This was perfect. And serpent comes up and begins to sow a seed into Eve. And he said, God is withholding from you. How often has Satan said something like that to you? God is not good. God is not benevolent. God is greedy. God doesn't want you to know this. God doesn't want you to catch this. How many of you know people that think that God is just waiting for them to mess up so he can strike them? He's the big angry God in the sky. What's that all about? A lie has been sown into their heart, and now in their minds it's truth. Even in Sunday school, Denny talked about how abused children grow up oftentimes to be abusers. Why? Because abuse can become normal. Satan in our day is trying to normalize a lot of things, and the church is beginning to believe the lie. And we better get back to the truth of the Word of God so we'll know where our deliverance comes from. The only way you can know right from wrong is to study right, study right, study right. When you get hired at the bank, they make you constantly look at dollar bills and $100 bills because they want you to know and to be able to feel the difference in a counterfeit bill. Most of those tellers that's been around for a long time could have their eyes closed and tell you that ain't real. Why? Because they've been studying the right. The trouble with the church today is we've laid the book down. We're no longer dividing the right, dividing the truth. So therefore, if we're not dividing the truth of the Word of God, we will believe a lie. And the rest of that is, and be damned. I don't want that. I think it's often so easy to fixate on the negatives. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Pastor Art would always say this. He said, your life will follow your most dominant thought. What do you say about yourself? You know it's important. You know Satan has a little lie. It goes something like this. It doesn't matter what you think. All that you're accountable for is your actions. You ever been told that lie? Come on, it doesn't matter what you think about. What matters is what you do. I got news for you. Your thought life is the blueprint to your actions. You will act according to the way you've been thinking. You ever heard anybody in the pulpit make a huge error? Say something really bad? It's because they've probably been dwelling on something wrong. Right? Matthew 12, verse 35 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth evil things. Guys, we need to quit being surprised about what falls out of our mouth. We need to start saying, God, forgive us and touch my heart. Now, when I grew up, I didn't pray about touching my heart. I said, God, help me to control this. Help me to not talk like that. So I tried to change my actions, but God wants to change your heart. See, God wants to replace what Satan has lied to you with something good. You cannot just make yourself stop thinking things. Do you understand that? You just need to acknowledge me. I'll stay here for a while. You cannot just stop thinking thoughts. You have to replace them. If Satan says you're a failure, you've got to replace that thought with, no, I'm not. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If it was that easy, Lord, I just don't want to think that way anymore. But then you get quiet. And Satan starts playing with your mind. And that loop starts again. Right? That loop starts again. Satan's lies keep coming across your mind. He tells you you're a failure. He tells you this marriage is not going to work. Tells you all kinds of things that is always going to destroy you. Satan never comes alongside and says how wonderful you are. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. Today I'm trying to teach you not to be ignorant of the devices of Satan. See, some of you think, I don't know how I got here. I've dealt with a lot of people. It's had an adulterous affair. Nobody just sees somebody and runs and jumps in bed. Are you listening to me? Affairs go in the mind first. Your mind plays it out over and over and over. And the more you think about this, the more the dangers stop becoming a reality. I oftentimes try to shake people and try to say, do you understand? You better kiss your babies goodbye. Because if you do this, you're breaking that union with your family. You're going to break their hearts. This is more disastrous than anything you can think about. This is foolishness. But the more you have thought about the delights of sleeping with this person, your mind forgets those things, those consequences, and all you can think about is the joy of 15 minutes. God help us. For 15 minutes or 30 minutes, we would sell everything good about our life. Who does that? Only a person that's mind's been on the wrong loop. God wants to pull down the strongholds. I want you to notice those words. Pull down. You can't outthink it. You can't. Satan's been in his job for a long time. You cannot outthink him. But you can ask the Holy Ghost to pull down this stronghold. Pull down this lie. Satan has a playbook, a trick book, and tools that he uses very good in our life. The word stronghold in the Greek is akeroma. It means a fortress. You know the difference between a fortress and a prison, right? Fortress keeps people out. A prison keeps people in. So it's basically the same sort of word. It's a fortress, a prison. Have you met anybody that seemed to be living in a prison in their mind? Come on. Talk to me for a second. Have you met anybody that seemed to live in a prison in their mind? Absolutely. Maybe it's been you. The devil has ingrained something in their mind and exerts power over their life. It's a compulsion, a habit, a continued pattern of thinking, life controlling problems. And I believe this. I believe God wants to set us free. As I thought about this sermon this week, I thought about this statement. Jesus said this, I came to set the captives free. Never before had I ever thought about that being mental. I've always thought about that being us as sinners, that God's delivering us from this sin, setting us free from this sin. But then this week, I saw it in a different avenue. I thought, God, even saved people sometimes live in a prison of thought. And God said, I want to set them free. Then he goes on in chapter 14 of the book of John. He's telling his disciples, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How do we do this? I am the way. You want to break that chain, that thought of chain that's going over and over and over in your mind? Jesus is the way that you change it. Isaiah 55 verse 7 says, let the wicked, that word wicked there is twisted. To where we get the word wicker furniture, twisted, the twisted vine that we make into furniture. Let the wicked man forsake his thoughts. I'm sorry, I've lost my place. There it is. Forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he'll have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. That is Isaiah. Many years before the New Testament ever came around, he's saying, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Well, I've got news for you. I want to think his thoughts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, I believe it is, he says, I have given you the mind of Christ. That's a powerful statement. So you can continue to think your thoughts, or you can ask the Lord to redeem you, change your mind, forgive you, and wash this stuff out of your life. And so you begin to think the thoughts of God. You know, Isaiah said this also in one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Isaiah 26:3. He says, perfect peace who have they whose mind is fixed, is stayed on thee. You want to know how to have peace? Get your mind fixed. That's a sermon, guys. I never even thought about that. Why do I not have peace? Because your mind's not fixed. Let God fix your mind so that it stays. Wouldn't it be wonderful if that loop just talked about the goodness of God? That loop of your mind, your thoughts in your mind, it just continually rehearsed the Word of God over and over and over. You're thinking about His goodness and His grace in your life. His mercy is new every morning, that He's called us to triumph, not to failure. Oh, I'm telling you, what you think about is so important. Matthew chapter 15. The Pharisees had begun to attack the disciples about them not washing their hands. It's amazing the things that we, you know, today in our society, it's all about stay 6 foot away from each other, wash your hand and wear a mask. Nobody's dealing with this. Meanwhile, we have people committing suicide. We have people abusing drugs and alcohol at a massive rate. Why? Because this is wrong. And a mask won't fix this. There's no vaccination for this. If there was, I'd get that one. Matthew chapter 15, verse 17 through 19, he says, do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? Oh, I love that. I love that Jesus says a good bowel movement removes all that stuff. But those things which proceed out of the mouth comes from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, and blasphemy. Satan operates in the arena of thought. You know, most people today in our society believe that pornography is not really wrong. The Bible doesn't talk about it. You better read your word. Because it does. Uses a different word. Pornia. Right? It talks about that. Talks about the things you put in for your eyes. How we devalue things that God made so precious. To spice up our life, we'll bring a video into our bedroom. Ah, this ain't going to hurt us. Oh yeah, that will destroy your marriage. And it will destroy you. See, it's not what you eat that's going to cause. Sarah Witt got a little bit of food poisoning this week. And she was texting me. We were supposed to go out to eat Wednesday night after church, and I don't think she could get very far away from the bathroom. So she stayed at the house, which I was glad of. But I told her, I said, it'll be over in a few hours. You ever been food poisoned? Oh, man, it's pretty serious, right? I mean, you feel terrible. But compared to your mind, it ain't nothing. You get what I'm saying? See, we have believed a lie that this is not a big deal, but it's a big deal if I get food poison. Because it makes me sit on the toilet with a trash can between my legs. Right? I mean, it's not a pleasant sight. I hope that didn't put a mental picture in your... But if this is wrong, if Satan begins to play with this, and he plays with it all the time, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Too many Christians don't believe fornication is what is fornication. I don't even know what fornication is. It's sex outside of marriage. Plain and simple. If you're not married, you ought not be doing that. And when you do, the Bible says, can a man take fire into his bosom and not be burned? Solomon talks to his son. He says, son, stay away from that promiscuous woman. Oh yeah, her words are sweet. She's enticing. But you know, the end is destruction. The end is death. Guys, I'm telling you, do you realize when Jesus came and he taught, he says, adultery is more than jumping in bed with somebody. Adultery is here. What you think in your mind, that's adultery. Why? Because he knew something we didn't know. It starts here. It starts in your mind. If you would take this control of your thoughts, you'll never do that. A very good friend of mine asked me, he says, is this, you ever get scared of that? Are you ever afraid that you might mess up? And I said, no, I never do. I never think about that. I never worry about it. He says, why don't you worry about that? What's different? I don't think about it. I won't go there. I won't entertain it. I'd love to tell you I'm perfect, but Treva gets the mic too often. It's just one of those things that I don't allow. We must take our thoughts captive. We must allow the Lord to demolish those images, those fears. Guys, you ought not be afraid of snakes. You ought not be afraid of the dark. That's a phobia. God is greater. Spiders. Listen, you ought not be afraid of running out of money. Money's not your provider, God is. Running out of food, running out of gas, running out of toilet paper. Dear God, help us. There's other places in the world that don't even worry about toilet paper. That's why you always shake the right hand, my brother. Here I'm telling you about thought and I'm taking you into the wrong place. Okay, let's get back. How can we overcome this? What are the methods that God wants to use in our life to bring us deliverance? I've just got like five things that I want to talk to you. Number one is sometimes you got to bring your thought life out of the darkness and into the light. How do you do that? Confess. Can't tell you in the last few months how many people have walked in my office and said, called me up and said, can I talk to you for a few minutes? And I said, absolutely, anytime. Come on over. They'd come in my office and they'd say something like this, I have a problem with pornography. Sometimes Jeremy Godwin, the missionary that was here last weekend, he talked about preachers being cynical. And I said, I'm not cynical. we talked for about 10 minutes and he said, "My brother, you got cynicism written all over you." Tree was sitting there saying, "Oh, he doesn't even see it." Now, one thing that you don't want to do is you don't want to confess your sin among everybody. But you need to find somebody that you totally trust that will hold this and will pray, not just listen to you, but will pray for you to overcome this. You know, we quote this verse a lot in this church, James chapter 5, 16. But do you realize how this thing starts off? Confess your trespasses to one another. And then he says something really powerful, and then pray for one another. And he goes on, he says that you will be healed. And we always, always, always see this as something physical. And I wonder sometimes, was he talking about our mind? I wonder sometimes how often our thought life affects us physically. If we get this right, would we be healthier? I believe we would. I believe oftentimes we talk ourselves into sickness. So bring your thought life out of the darkness by finding somebody that will pray for you and confess it to them. Whew, wouldn't that be wonderful? The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You need somebody praying for you. Number two is transform your thoughts by washing of the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow." It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Have you ever noticed that line? We always sort of stop early in that verse. But he says, the Word of God can discern your thoughts. The Bible always also says that the heart is deceitfully wicked and no man can know it. It seems to me that we can fool ourselves, but we can't fool the Word of God. God can discern your thoughts. God can tell you whether your motives are right or whether your motives are evil. I think in that same chapter, maybe in the verse or two later, he says everything is laid open and naked before the Lord. That used to always scare me because I used to think, God, I don't want you to see the darkness of my heart. I'm at a place in my life today that I says, God, expose everything. I want you to see everything that's dark and evil. Because if it's not exposed, it will remain. But when it's exposed, you can remove it. Third thing is, why don't we just look for a way out? Look for the way out. The next time your mind gets on that bad loop, you know what I'm talking. It gets on that disastrous loop, that loop that tells you you're nothing but a failure. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that no temptation has overtaken you except as is common to man. You know why confession is good? Because they probably have been through it. They can probably tell you, I understand what you're going through. I've been there. Brother, I just want to tell you, you can get out of it. God will deliver you. Except as common to man. Listen to the next four words. But God is faithful. What's he talking about? He's talking about when you are down in the ditch, when you have fallen, when you just can't get out of this temptation. He's saying, confess it. God is faithful. There is a way out. So often we think, I just can't do anything about this. Oh, yes, you can. God can. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. I think of being in a house that's on fire. It's dark. Your lungs are filling up with smoke. You can't breathe. You cannot even see that there is a window in the room. But God knows that window is there. God says, I will show you the window. I'll show you how to get out of this trap that the enemy has caused for you. When I was a freshman in college, I took this class, social something. Some kind of, yeah, it really, I thought, I'm a business major. What am I doing in this stupid class? But I actually did learn some things because they talked about norms. And that word got my attention because they talked about how you can grow up in dysfunction, but it becomes normal to you. That becomes normal so that when you get married and you start your family, your dad never told you he loved you, so you never tell your son that you love him. That's not normal, guys. God wants to create a new normal for you. Does that make sense? Let's not keep repeating the patterns of the past. You know, in my family, my extended family, I don't know anything about the Kelleher's. I know a lot about the Holtz. That's my mother's maiden name. There were no good marriages. None. I can remember as, you know, young teenager, I didn't want to get married. Why? Because norm for me was fighting. I don't like confrontation. I hate confrontation. I don't like that feeling, that knotted up stomach. If I want to lose weight, I've got a good diet plan. All I got to do is think you're mad at me. I'm glad that you love me. I'm not even going to say that. I like being fat, but I don't. Do you understand God's got a way out of your problem? Come on, I wish you'd just get real with me for a second. I know a lot of times we think there's no way out of this. I've tried everything. If you're like me, you chase things down in your thoughts. It's like playing this big chess game. If I move to the right, she's going to move to the left, and then I'm going to jump her queen, or I'm going to do this, right? We're constantly thinking about the next move that we're going to make. And then sometimes you get to the point where I can't win this. I'm defeated. And I believe that's where a lot of people live. I can't win. We often wonder, why do people commit suicide? It's the most selfish act that you can ever do. Why do people commit suicide? Because in their mind, they played every play. You hear me? They've made every move possible, and they can't win. So the only natural thing to do is to stop it. Let's just end the misery right now. What they don't realize is they may end their misery, but it causes more misery for their family. It's a selfish act. But don't you wish that you could call that person right before they do that tragic thing, and you can say, I know a way out. I know the winning ticket. I know what you can do. You see, Jesus always says he'll give you a way of escape. See, if there's one person in this room that's ever entertained suicide, you need to hear this verse. You need to know that in your darkest moment, there is a way out. And you may not be that person, but maybe you need to tell a friend that. Fourth thing is we need to confess the word of God over our lives and stop agreeing with the devil. You know, a lot of Christians think the devil is a whole lot more powerful than what he really is. He's not that powerful. He has really one thing. He is a sower of thought. But when you start quoting him instead of quoting the Word of God, all of a sudden it became powerful in your life. Do you get me? When you start agreeing with the devil instead of agreeing with God, all of a sudden that's pretty powerful. That's why you can't just stop thinking about it. You must replace that thought with the thought from the Word of God. I hate it that we quit memorizing this Word. 50 years ago, when you were in Sunday school, we expected you to memorize the Word of God. Today, we are lazy. If I can just get people to read it, I feel like a success as a pastor. What happened to memorizing it? You see, if you put the Word of God in your heart when you don't need it, the day you need it, the Holy Spirit will bring it back. Oh, that's so powerful. Confess the Word of God. Revelation 12 says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Oh my goodness. You know, most of my life, I thought worship was to this God that just made us worship Him. How egotistical is our God that He needs every believer to tell Him how wonderful He is? Does that not sound strange to you? What would you think of me as a husband if I told you when Treva gets home, I make her take 30 minutes to tell me how great I am every day? You would say, that boy's got problems. And yet that's what many of us think about worship. Do you know worship is really not for God, it's for you. It builds you up, not Him. He's pretty confident in who He is. But when you begin to rehearse how faithful He is, that His mercies are new every morning, that He is a restorer of joy, that He is a good God. Do you know what that does for you? And all of a sudden, it begins to replace some thoughts in your mind that maybe the devil has planted there this week. Meditate on what the Lord says. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. I don't have this verse in there, but he talks about the things that are true. He says, think on these things. Isn't that amazing that the Holy Spirit says, I better tell them specifics, what they need to be thinking about? He says, meditate on the things that are true. That means factual, real. You know, the devil never tells you anything that's factual, that's not twisted. He may tell you a little bit of truth, but he always twists it. Factual, real, genuine. It's the opposite of dishonest. He said, think about the noble, the dignified, worthy of respect, has the dignity of holiness on it. You know, when I think about that, I think about a real lady. Somebody that just carries themselves as a lady. You know, one of the things I'll be talking about on Father's Day is how this society is trying to pull us away from masculinity. But they're also trying to pull ladies away from femininity. They are trying to create a sexless world where we're all the same. We are not all the same. God created us male and female. It's all right to be masculine. You won't hear that in the world. They'll make it up to be something perverse, but it's not perverse to be masculine. Dear God, I wish that we had more masculinity in the world. I wish we had more men that would stand up for what's right. Think on the things that are noble. When I think about that, I think of my grandma. My grandma was a lady. I mean, she just was. She carried herself as a lady. When I fell in love with Treva, it was not because of her looks. It was because of who she is. I would look at her and I'd say, she's such a lady. She's so peaceful. There were so many qualities that I just fell in love with. Then we got married and she changed. No, I'm teasing. I'm teasing. She's still that way. He said, think on the things that are just, are right. The things that conform to God's standard. See, the devil is trying to even make the things that are right seem wrong. We got to go back to the Word of God to see what right is. He said, think on the things that are pure. The things that are wholesome. The things that are clean. Not mixed with immorality or pollution. I told you the story one time that we went, Jeff and I went with a couple other guys. We went to Tommy Barnett's church. We're sitting on the third balcony. Maybe the second balcony. The main floor, the first balcony, the second balcony. Thousands of people in the congregation. This beautiful young lady in this beautiful red dress walks in front of us. And it caught my eye. I thought, I'd like to get Treva a red dress like that. It was my thought. This young man turns to me, wasn't Jeff, turns to me and says something so evil, so awful, that I punched him. I said, we're in church. How could you have a thought like that? I was getting ready to go up and preach one day at Hope Harbor. I'm sitting in my pew and someone leans up and tells me a dirty joke. I thought, dear God, what's wrong with us? Think on things that are pure. On lovely, what promotes peace rather than conflict. Good report, it's admirable, it's positive and constructive. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. If you will harness these thoughts, your life will follow suit. It doesn't change tomorrow. But over time, as we change these thoughts, we break the loop. We break the loop. We break the record. Did you guys grow up like I did playing the old big old plastic records? Never, you ever get one that's scratched? No, Dale Miller's over there. What's a plastic record? Shut up. Sometimes they would get scratched and they wouldn't move and it just over and over and over. That's the way your mind is. You get this defeated thought. And your mind just... I'm preaching truth. Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to end with this. The last thought I wanted to say about that is we need to put on the helmet of salvation. Guard these thoughts. This is incredibly important. Romans chapter 5. I'm sorry. Romans chapter 8. Verse 5 through 8. I don't remember. I did put it up there. Jonathan did. God bless your heart. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Folks, look at me for just a second. Do you feel fleshly? A lot of people admit this to me. I'm just a carnal Christian. Shame on you. You've been saved for 30 years and you're still calling yourself carnal. It's time to change that. He says, those who live according to that flesh, they have set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, carnal is meat. I always say, are you a meathead? You know, I think that many of us are meatheads. You remember? No, Dale, you will not remember this. All in the family. You remember Archie? Yeah. The father, he called his son meathead constantly. My sister-in-law has the audacity to call me Archie. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. John 10:10 says, Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And many Christians today are saying, where is that more abundant life? And I've got the answer for you. It's in changing your thoughts. You will never experience the abundant life in Christ as long as you think like a heathen. You've got to change the loop. You've got to change this. And when you think you can't, we serve a God that can. God is a deliverer. There are those of you in this room that have told me before, I was hooked on this, and God delivered me. Carrie Vine told me something one time years ago, and it has stuck with me forever. He said, everybody sees drug addiction as being something physical. And he said, but worse than the physical addiction, it's a mental addiction. Your body craves it, but not nearly as much as your mind. God, deliver me from that thought. God, help my mind to get out of the gutter. Don't let me see women like that. Don't let me concentrate on that. There's more to life than sex. Isn't it amazing, something so pure and holy that Satan has perverted it? Let's get our minds out of the gutter, out of defeatism, and let's begin to place it upon the deliverer, upon the God who wants you to win every battle. If you're not winning, it's probably because you feel defeated here. God wants to change your thoughts. Would you stand with me? I think that it's time to pull down some strongholds. And if at any point in this sermon you have thought about somebody else, shame on you. I wasn't preaching to your friend, I was preaching to you. See, every person in this room deals with this same battle. I worked for a young man one time who told me this story. He said he was in a deacon meeting. He was a good guy. We were both in our 30s at that point. He said, I went to a deacon meeting the other day, and he said, this guy, one of the deacons, spoke up and he said, would you guys pray for me? He said, I'm having an awful hard time with my thoughts. He said, they're just in the gutter, and I need to change the way I think. He looked at me and he said, Eric, you know who that was? And I said, I don't know anybody on your board. No, I don't know who that was. He said it was the oldest man in our board. He was something in his 80s. So you're not too young or you're not too old. Satan wants to corrupt your thought life. And young men that don't capture these thoughts become old perverts. Some of the most perverted people I've ever met in my life were old men. They have perfected that nonsense, that garbage. I had to tell an old man one time at the senior citizens, you cannot talk that way in this place. I told him one time, if you want to write your thoughts down to give to your daughters, I'll be glad to type it up for you. He wrote me about 5 pages of history on his life that he wanted to pass down to his daughters. It was like reading a dirty book. It was filthy. His name was Sam, and I said, Sam, you cannot give this to your daughters. Will you let me clean this up for you? You know, he had to think about it. So it's all true. And I said, I'm sure it is, but it's garbage. We cannot give that to our daughters. Do you realize you're passing a letter down to your kids? You're teaching them morality. You're teaching them your values. You may not be sitting down saying, okay, you need to think like this. But when you make this off-color joke, your kids listen. All of a sudden they're thinking, well, I guess that's normal. I guess that's right. Dad's a deacon. Dad may be a deacon, but maybe he hasn't taken his mind captive in this area. God, help us. God, help us. You know, we're losing an entire generation. We're losing the battle, guys. Why? I think it's because of discrepancies, duplicity. I think they see something that they don't want to duplicate. Do you realize we're supposed to be the ambassadors of Christ? Do you know the term Christianity? Christian means Christ-like. Are you Christ-like? It has nothing to do with your church attendance. It has to do with who you are. Are you like Christ? And if you're not, you can be. But maybe you need to ask the Lord, would you break something off my thought life today? Come on, folks. I know you hear me. I can tell by your eyes. Let's close our eyes and pray. If you want special prayer today, if you'll just come up here, we'll pray for you. We'll dismiss service if we need to, but we'll pray for you. Father God, I pray, Lord, I have delivered my heart today. I have stated everything that you've placed in my heart. God, I know the seed has been sown today, and I know that you want to break free. You want to set the captives free today. God, I pray that I pray no one leaves this place today and feels defeated and feels like they just can't. God, show us we can. Show us there's a new way. Show us we don't have to be carnal. Help us to think and place our heart on you. Help us to walk in the way of the Spirit of God. Jesus, I'm asking for deliverance for these people today. I thank you, Lord, for every person that walked in these doors. I believe it's a special appointment with you, God. I believe, Lord, that you are sowing a message into their hearts. I believe today that strongholds will be broken and imaginations will be pulled down so that our thoughts will be clear and free today to be thinking the thoughts of God. I pray for each and every person in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll say goodbye to you on Facebook. I hope that you hear this message, and I hope that you pray for deliverance. And if you need to leave, you can leave. But if you'd like to come up and pray with us, we'll just take a moment and we'll pray with some of these folks. You can mute me.